Okay, world. Boker Tov. Today's daf in Masechet Nedarim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Mem Dalet. And I think that we could save ourselves a lot of Akmas Nefesh if we take a look at the daf, as we sometimes do when we hit a complex daf. If we take a look at the daf from the outside, first, gather the possibilities of all the directions of the information and the elements that need to be taken into consideration. And then, after taking everything into consideration, we then go ahead and put it into the sugya. I think that that's going to help a great deal. So let's just remember how this sugya began. And I think for that, it's kedai for us to go back a little bit and talk about the machlokas that we had in the Mishnah. So the Mishnah spoke about a case which you're trying to transfer something to someone who is Osir Bahana from you, and you don't know what to do. The guy is hungry. You don't have anybody else to give it to. You don't have a makolet guy who's able to give it to. You're in the middle of the road somewhere. No one else is there. So the Mishnah said, in those circumstances particularly, you could set it down on a rock or something and be mafkir it. Then the guy could take it from there, and then he's not being nene from you directly. He's being nene from Hefker. Rabbi Yossi, on the other hand, said, no, you can't do that. So we had yesterday two explanations of why does Rabbi Yossi say you can't do that. So our first explanation was Rabbi Yochanan's explanation. Rabbi Yochanan said that, look, there's a problem in Rabbi Yossi, which everybody tried to address. We'll talk about that in a moment. But first, in terms of the simple logic of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yochanan said the logic in Rabbi Yossi is that because hefker is basically similar to gifting. So if you gift something to someone by saying, I hereby say that this is yours, does that make any difference? No. Does it leave your rishus? No. Can you change your mind and tell the guy, okay, I thought I was going to give it to you, you know? You're such a slowpoke, you never took it. Ha-ha. So now I've decided not to give it to you. You could do that. Obviously, once the individual takes it, then at that point you can't change your mind anymore. Then it becomes his. Well, the same thing should be true of Lagabi Hefker. And therefore, if you said this should be Hefker and nobody takes it, so then you could just say, I changed my mind. It's not Hefker. If somebody takes it, therefore, it would be the same as receiving a gift from you. Because essentially, it never left your rishus because it went directly from you to him. But if he's Osir Bahana, how can you give a gift from you to him? That was how Rabbi Yochanan viewed Rabbi Yossi. We didn't like Rabbi Yochanan's approach. And the reason we didn't like it is because Rabbi Yossi made a distinction between making the neder first and then being mafkir, or being mafkir first and then making the neder. According to the way Rabbi Yochanan was understanding it, there shouldn't be any difference. Because basically, if it's really open until the other person takes it, who cares? Bottom line, it's the same logic, whether it's before or after, right? So that was viewed by many in the Gemara as a fatal attack on Rabbi Yochanan. However, there was a way out of that attack, which we also attacked. The way out of that attack was that it isn't that you cannot aser it if you first went ahead and were mafkir and then you made the neder. It's not that you can't aser it. It's just that you don't think about asering it because as far as you're concerned, psychologically, it's already thrown away because you were mafkir. Okay, we attack that answer. It's not important to us. Why? It's clear from today's sugya that the attack on that answer was not fatal, because the entire sugya today, we're going to approach it from the Ron's point of view, the entire sugya today is predicated on Rabbi Yochanan's approach in Rabbi Yossi, namely, that Kefker is considered to be similar to a Matana, and therefore it does not become yours until you take it. And the same thing is true with Hefker. Not only does it not become yours until you take it, it never left the Mafkir's Rishus until you took it. And that's the reason why Rabbi Yossi says, well, how can you put it on a rock somewhere and tell the guy to take it? He's taking it directly from you. But because Rabbi Yochanan's pshat didn't look so good yesterday, Rava had another pshat. Okay, so Rava says, you know what Rabbi Yossi was saying? Rabbi Yossi is just worried about phonies. What was the case of the phony? That's called Matnat Beit Choron, which after Gavi does his driving today, he'll write down because it's a concept. So the Matnat Beit Choron is a problem which we call, it's just Ramaut. So over there, the guy had asered, he got into a fight with his father, he had asered his father, Bahana. Then years later, he's making a wedding. He needs his father to attend the wedding, but his father's not allowed to be nene from the wedding. He tries to give some friend of his all of the wedding hall and the food and everything. And the guy says to him, if that's the case, it's here by Hegdash. And the guy, of course, goes bananas. And he says, I never gave it to you to make it Hegdash. And the guy said, exactly. You only gave it to me because you want me to be able to be over on the netter so you could get away with inviting your father. But you didn't really mean to make it mine, because if you did, then what's your objection to my doing what I want to do with it? It's none of your business. You gave it to me. So the same thing is true over here. Since you don't really mean it, so we have the problem of Matnat Beit Choron. Okay, now today, what we're going to do is begin three lines up from the bottom of Amud Aleph, which is where we begin asking questions on the sugya of Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan. So let us now introduce, outside of the daf, the various issues that we're talking about here. Number one, the issue, the primary issue, according to Rabbi Yochanan, was that we have a machlokas, whether hefker is an actual siluk of the reshus of the person who's mafkir, or it is essentially just granting permission. This is the way that Rabbi Yochanan understood Rabbi Yossi's approach. If there's anything that's unclear, I want to make 10 points. So if there's anything unclear in these 10 points, please let me know, because each and every one of them is central to our being able to get the sugya straight. Otherwise, it's going to be hopelessly confusing. All right, so that's point number one. Is hefker an actual siluk, like the Rabbanan hold, or is it just permission to take, in which case it remains mine until it's taken? Now, assuming that it is like a giving permission to take, does that mean that if a person does take it, that he got it from me? Or does it mean that he might think he got it from me? So now, because there's a big difference between the two, there's no indication that Rabbi Yossi holds that if you're mafkir something, it's not possible for you to be zocha in it from the hefker. In other words, let me ask you something. A guy has got peros, okay, in his field. He's mafkir his field, according to Rabbi Yossi. Somebody else comes along and is zocha in those peros. Was he zocha in those peros from hefker? Or was he zocha in those peros as a gift? If he was zocha from the peros from hefker, hefker peros do not require trumas and maisras. In which case, he's in luck. He just saved himself over 10% of needing to give it away. Barney, of course, was lurking behind the trees, was ready to beat the guy up. But what can you do? It would depend on whether he holds l'chora, like Rabbi Yossi, right? Or, of course, Rabbi Yossi didn't mean, when he said it's like a matana, that it's literally not from hefker. He doesn't disagree with the concept of hefker. All he says was that until the moment that a person takes it away from you, it remains yours. But when the person takes it away from you, he's not getting it from you. It's not that you were makna it to him the way you would do with a gift, obviously. It's that you gave him permission to take it. But permission to take it means that essentially it's hefker, and that you will not exercise your balut on it. Now, that would mean that even according to Rabbi Yossi, if somebody took it, he was taking it from hefker. It's just that until he took it, it wasn't hefker. Is that issue clear? Okay. Now, sub-issue to that. Would people see it that way? You say, who cares? I'll tell you who cares. Because let's assume that people know that you can change your mind about the hefker up until the moment that somebody takes it. if they come to the conclusion that, oh, so then that means it's not Hefker. And if they see somebody being Zocha in it, and he does not take off Trumas or Maestras, then they're going to say that this is Usser. But on the other hand, if we tell the guy, and we say, let's pretend, in order to avoid that mistake, let's pretend that it's Chayev and Maeser. That's a disaster. Because if you take off Maeser that isn't Chayev and Maeser, then you can end up really causing problems. Because now, let's say if you think it's Chayev and Maeser, you'll use it to take off Maeser for something else that really is Chayev and Maeser. But that won't be, it'll remain Tevel. So then that means you're going to be feeding Tevel, or in the event that you would give it then to let's say the other direction, that somebody used his things to potter this, it would be Tevel. When he gives it to the Levi, or he took off Truma and gives it to the Kohen, it's going to be Tevel. Because he thought it was, this field was really Chayev and Trumas and Maeser's. That's the third point. Can you pretend that something is Chayev and Trumas and Maeser's without getting into this kind of problem? Now, the fourth point is, if the person himself, according to Rabbi Yossi, goes ahead and takes back what he was mafkir, is there a difference between him saying, I'm taking this from Hefker, or between his simply changing his mind? The difference, of course, la halacha, would be immense. Can you be mafkir, according to Rabbi Yossi, can you be mafkir your own field, thereby pottering it now from Trumas and Maeser's, and then go back and be Zolcha in it, and it will be potter, because now you're being Zolcha in the Hefker? Or do we say, well, what do you mean? If he goes back and takes it, that is changing your mind about being mafkir it. But if you change your mind about being mafkir, according to Rabbi Yossi, it was never Hefker. And therefore, you would have to take off Trumas and Maeser's. Is there a way to avoid that issue, according to Rabbi Yossi? In other words, if the person says beferish, I mafkir this field, and then he goes back the next morning, and he says, oh, what a lovely field. It says, this field is Hefker. How wonderful that no one else came along to take my field. I think I will be Zocha in this field from Hefker. Why, looky, looky, I just got myself $1 million worth of peirot and they don't need to be meisered. Fantastic. Can he do that? Or by definition, is he just changing his mind? Another issue to consider, yeah? Makes sense? Now, there's yet another question. Point number five. Is there a difference if a person makes Hefker in a way that indicates that he's trying to hold on as long as he can to the property? What would be the case? A guy says, well, I'll make this Hefker for a week. You know, but no longer than that. So now, obviously, you can't make, according to all the Rishonim that I'm aware of, you cannot make something truly Hefker for a week and then have it revert to being yours. That's impossible. But what we could understand that as meaning is, for the next week, if anybody takes it, okay. But after that, no. Now, in such a case, you are indicating that you are not really ready to let go of this piece of property permanently. You're ready to risk a week in which maybe someone will come. I don't know why you're doing it. I don't care why. But you can imagine plenty of reasons why. For tax purposes, for patur of Maeser, who knows? I mean, it's not a question why. But you did it. What would be the status in such a case if you don't hold of Rabbi Yossi? Because even the Rabbanan may admit, well, if you've made it clear that you don't want to let go, then you're only basically giving people permission to take it for the next week or for the next year or however long it is. So then that means until they take it, you're hovering anxiously over it and saying, boy, I hope nobody comes. I hope nobody comes. Then maybe they would agree with Rabbi Yossi that under such circumstances, you never really intended to be misalik your baalut. Does that make sense? It's obviously an element that needs to be taken into consideration. Question number 6. In the event that we are concerned for the Beit Horon Rama'ut, what point can we conclude that a person who was mafkir his own field, if he gets it back, do we have to ipso facto conclude the guy is a phony, he never wanted to mafkir the field, and therefore he is definitely going to be chayev in meiser? Or are there ways to actually maintain the dinim of hefker? Why would we want to do that? I'll tell you why. Because if somebody else would see that if this guy takes his field back, he still is chayev in meiser, he doesn't realize that the problem that made the person that field, that made us be chayev in meiser, is that we don't believe he made it hefker. He may think that maybe hefker isn't potter from meiser, or he may think, well, hefker is at least chayev in meiser midrabbanan, or something like that. But again, that would mean that even if somebody else took it, he would come to be taking off Meiser min achiev al aptur min aptur al achiev and would end up creating tremendous problems. So if we would just go ahead and we would say, look, anybody who is a phony or that we believe is a phony is going to have to take off Meiser, that would lead to very possible disasters. And that would be a takana that is really going to cause more problems than it's going to solve. Because in the event that somebody else took it, it wasn't really chayav meiser, and he's going to think it was chayav meiser, right? Okay, is there a way to avoid that problem? That was an issue that we raised earlier. But this issue, issue number 6, is there a way to figure out or to assure that we don't have to worry about Rama'ut in the event that somebody takes back his own field? And that would allow us to avoid the problems that this takana would create. Now, this is a very important point throughout the sugya. I need you to understand it. There is pressure in opposite directions here. On the one end, we are pressured to protect the meiser, the process of being hefker, from phonies. And there's a very, very strong financial reward for being a phony. You save yourself on trumas and meisers. So we would like to make certain that we filter the hefkerim that are going to be done in such a way that we filter out the phonies, clearly. But the problem is that we also have strong pressure in the opposite direction. Because if we cancel it for the phonies, then what happens is that people end up believing that Meiser doesn't potter you, I mean, if Hefker doesn't potter you from Meiser. If they end up thinking that, then we end up with the problems of people taking off Truma and Meiser min achiev al aptur, min aptur al achiev. So we have to balance our act here very carefully. On the one hand, we can't just cancel the hefker. And on the other hand, we also can't just allow hefker. So how do we determine at what stage we're going to be properly filtering out the phonies from the serious people while still maintaining the dinim of hefker? Is this understood, this contradiction, in the directions that we... Okay, great. The 7th point is... I included the 7th point about the chashad. In other words, the two directions, reports 6 and 7. Now, if there would be one of these issues, would there be a difference between a hefker that was done in front of a bezdin, or that was done in front of many people, as opposed to a hefker that was done in front of only one or two people? Why would there be? I will tell you a very good reason why would there be, according to Rabbi Yochanan. The whole idea that we sort of let it slip by us without examining is that Rabbi Yossi says hefker is like a matana. Well, what do you mean hefker is like a matana? It is not like a matana. Because in a matana, you want something to go from you as a gift to a particular individual. But in a hefker, there's no way for you to get it to a particular individual. And therefore, obviously, Rabbi Yossi is making a false comparison. It is a siluk of your ownership. It's not a giving of something to someone. Now, how about if you're mafkir something just in front of one person? But you don't say this is a gift to you. You say this is hefker. Now, I understand why in that case Rabbi Yossi would say, ah, come off it, man. This is really a gift. It isn't hefker. And therefore, until the guy takes it, it's no different than a gift. But how about if you stand up in front of a crowd of people, there's 10,000 people there, you grab the mic, and you say, this field is hefker. Is Rabbi Yossi going to say, well, you're just giving it as a gift? Giving it as a gift? I just kicked myself, shot myself in the leg, right? So what do you mean giving it as a gift? So in that case, it's quite possible that the entire logic of Rabbi Yossi would break down, and Rabbi Yossi would agree, well, no, obviously, over there you can't change your mind, because that has nothing to do with a gift. That was truly a siluk of your bailus. Fantastic. Okay, that's our other concern.
And it's in Rabbi's neighborhood, because Rabbi was part of the Beis Din that heard a hefker last night.
I did?
Moshe Eliyahu was
mafkir. Oh, right. Yes.
You just experienced this.
Yes, you're right. But that was got to be Shvias. Could be a little bit different. Okay. So that's another question. Now, I've got yet another issue that I raise. Okay. The other issue would be, is there a difference between the way that we would treat hefker on karka and the way we would treat hefker on metaltolin? Because since it's only vis-a-vis karka that we have the worry about the phonies who have a strong financial incentive to pretend that they're making something hefker, and therefore whatever takana we would make to try to reach that balance would be effective, hopefully, to both maintain the issue of real hefker and to filter out the phony hefker, would we worry about the same thing being true about metaltolin? Because the difference would be, obviously, that Rabbi Yossi's initial take on the whole issue came from the Mishnah. And the Mishnah was referring to food that you put on a stone. Now, food that you put on a stone when you're in the middle of the midbar is not necessarily going to be subject to the same type of gezeiros that we have for filtering out the financial incentives of the tour from Meiser. True, there are other issues. You know, a guy may be a phony because he wants this person to have food to eat, but that is not something that we're going to make a generalized takana on. And therefore, there may be a difference between the case in the Mishnah and the cases that we're considering about somebody who is mafkir sadehu or mafkir as karma. So now, if that's the case, now we have all of these issues clearly set out in front of you. We can now go ahead and take a look how the Gemara takes all of these 10 elements, interweaves them in an approach which would account for all of the various things that the different brises and the different shitas of Rabbi Yossi have raised. Okay? So now let's begin. So says the Gemara, now we're here still on Mem Gimel Amud Beis. We have right now, according to the Ran, we're going to approach the sugya with the shita of Rabbi Yochanan. Remember, Rabbi Yochanan believes that Rabbi Yossi's logic is that a matana and hefker are essentially the same thing, which we've questioned in our 10 points. Are they always the same thing? And so on. We'll talk about that as we go along. But Rabbi Yochanan says the logic is that hefker is just giving you permission to take something. But when you take it, it is not really from hefker. It's as if I am giving you direct hanah. So asks the Gemara from the following. Tanya. So here's Braita number one. We'll call it Braita number one. This is our, we're putting the evidence in front of the court. So here is number one. It says, Hamafkir et sadehu. So someone was mafkir his field For the first 3 days after making it hefker, he can change his mind. But from that point on, he cannot change his mind. Whoa. All right, so this is introducing an entirely new issue. Who the heck cares 3 days, post 3 days, before 3 days? That doesn't really make sense according to anybody, does it? So we're going to have to figure out what that means. But let me just point out to you that in terms of the 10 points that we raised, I have a couple of ideas what it could mean, because maybe 3 days is our filter. Maybe that's the point. If the guy recognizes that he's got to leave the field open to anybody to take for 3 days, and only then is it called hefker if he gets it back. Oh, that's not the way that people who like to play games with pottering themselves from Meiser, that's not the game they play. The game they play, as we saw many times, is that at night, before going to bed, they're mafkir their field, wake up early in the morning while it's still dark, and they say, oh my, what a pretty field. I think I'll be zoche in it, right? But if we show him, now, wait a minute, buddy, it isn't really hefker until 3 days. Only then does the hefker kick in. So then if you take it, you're back where you started from. Ugh, I got to leave it hefker for 3 days? Sorry. So, okay, so then if that's the case, we've got the first stages of a filter in place, right? So that may be a reason why 3 days is sort of an arbitrary kind of thing, which the Chachamim made as a takana to force people to think twice before they're mafkir their seda. Now, that's one possibility. Now, how about, continues the Braita, in the second case? In the second case, you say, Tehei sadeh zo mufkeret l'yom echad, l'shabbat echad, l'chodesh echad, l'shana echad, l'shavua echad. I don't care how much time is involved, but what I do care about is the fact that you made it dependent in time. So in that case, at shelo zacha ba beinu bein acher, at that point, I don't care if it's 3 years later. If somebody is zoche it, so then fine, he was zoche. You can't take it back. But until somebody is zoche in it, you can change your mind at any point. So at shelo zacha ba beinu bein acher, yochol achzor bo. But mish zacha ba beinu bein acher, ein yochol lachzor bo. Now, whoo, wait a minute. So which shita would this possibly work according to? I mean, if you don't hold of Rabbi Yossi, how in the world could you change your mind 3 years later? According to the way Rabbi Yochanan understands Rabbi Yossi, this makes great sense. You could change your mind 3 years later, right? Why not? Of course, the question is, but, I mean, if that's the case, what does it have to do with making it for a set amount of time? It's irrelevant. It's for a set amount of time. According to Rabbi Yossi, you can always change your mind. Okay, that's true. That's a problem. But, I mean, there's no mechanism for this to be true according to the Rabbanan, is there? Well, let me suggest the mechanism. It's one of the 10 points that we brought up. We said that if a person is trying to hold on to his property, that then it's really not so clear that the Rabbanan would argue on Rabbi Yossi. The Rabbanan may admit, well, wait a minute. I mean, if this guy is so nervous that he wants to make sure that he gets it back at the end of a week or whatever, I don't care if it's long term, then we agree that he doesn't want to let go until somebody's actually come along and taken it away from him. That would be a possibility to allow the end of this braisa to even work out according to the Rabbanan, right? So you can see the different issues. Is there a way for the first part of the braisa to work out even according to Rabbi Yossi? Yes, it's another one of the points. Which one is that? It's the point about whether people might make the mistake of thinking that since the person can change his mind, when it actually does come into their rishus from hefker, Even according to Rabbi Yossi, I'm not getting it from the other guy. There's no das makne. So I really was zocher from hefker. But they might think there ain't no such animal as hefker. Heck, the guy can change his mind at any time. So obviously, if he's letting me take it, it's just he's giving me a gift. Now, if they think that, then they're going to believe that hefker did not make an impact on the chiyuv of trumas and maizras. Uh-oh. If we cannot continue to support the reality of hefker to people, then we're in big trouble, because then people are going to end up being taking off trumas and maizras from something that's really potter on something that's chayev, or vice versa, from something that's chayev on something that's potter. So as you see, with the 10 points that we raised, we do have a way of working this braita out according to anyone. And that's the Gemara that we're about to go through. But on the surface, what do we have over here? On the surface, what we seem to have is a pretty clear-cut indication that the Reisha is going according to the Rabbanan, and the Seifa is going according to Rabbi Yossi. Because assuming, again, that the reason that Rabbi Yossi says that you could change your mind is because Hefker is like a Matana. So therefore, if it's like a Matana, until it gets into your Rishus, it never leaves the Rishus of the Mafkir. So then why, according to Rabbi Yossi, after 3 days, can you not change your mind? Oh, that doesn't make any sense. Therefore, our assumption is that's going according to the Rabbanan. What about the second part of the Braita? The second part of the Braita allows you to change your mind at any point, even after 3 years. Well, that can't be true according to Rabbanan, can it? So that's going according to Rabbi Yossi. So, I mean, isn't it weird for a Braisa to be stated in that way, that we take for granted the Shita of the Rabbanan and the Reisha, and we take for granted the Shita of Rabbi Yossi and the Seifa? You see this? Everybody, the question is clear. The Reisha does not allow you to change your mind after 3 days. Why not, according to Rabbi Yossi? The Seifa allows you to change your mind 3 years later. Why, according to the Rabbanan? Therefore, it's got to be Rabbi Yossi. Okay, so then we have a Braisa that on its surface appears to be going in two different directions. We're not taking into consideration any of the sub-elements that I discussed in my 10 points, obviously. Yes, Rabbi Barnea.
I'm following Baruch Hashem, what Rabbi is saying. I don't understand what it means, Ben Hu, if he comes back and is Zocha in. If that's discussed later, that's fine, but that's not him being closer, that's him being like somebody else being Zocha in it. What does that mean?
The idea of his own ability to be Zocha is, let us understand, is talking about an issue that we raised also in our 10 points. Namely, if the person himself states, I hereby am Zocha in this field from Hefker. Is that, remember, one of the 10 points was, is that different than simply changing his mind? It's clear from here, yes, that is different than changing your mind. You see? If you would have changed your mind, then it wasn't Zocha from the Hefker. If you took it from Hefker, then even though you were the one who made it Hefker, you're still Zocha from the Hefker, because you made it very clear that your intent was not to change your mind, specifically. And therefore, why would we assume that it's all in terms of changing your mind? Okay? So the points that we raised really address all of the issue over here. And that would be, without taking into consideration some of the other questions so far, right? Namely, for instance, what about the fact that it limits your ability to change your mind to a case where you made it Hefker for a particular amount of time, right? Now, to suggest to you that there is one additional element, if you count it carefully, you'll saw that I only raised 9 issues. The 10th issue is, if you are a phony and your intent was to be Zocha back in the field, why did you mention a certain amount of time? Because you were going to just take it back as quickly as possible. So the very fact that you mentioned time means you're not in this just to potter it from Meiser. You're in it to get out of taxes or whatever. I mean, but you're serious because you wanted to be able, in the event that nobody did take it, to come back only after 7 years. I mean, what does that have to do with being Mafker your field, you see? So the additional question would be whether the very fact that we're dealing with a case which has an alternative filter to phonies, the alternative filter is the modality of the netter. If the person is concerned for the issue of how long it's going to be Hefker, then he's obviously nervous about the fact that it really is Hefker. And he's not just engaged in a game to wake up the next morning and to take it back. So what that means is that there are multiple directions that the difference of the second case in the Braita could be tending towards. On the one hand, there's a reason why, according to Reb Yossi, if there is a takana to filter phonies, that takana might be the reason for the reisha, that even Reb Yossi would be meida, that after 3 days we have to let it be given away because otherwise people won't realize that it's hefker. Okay, that would let the reisha work out according to Reb Yossi, and we're going to get to that. That is a possibility. But then that would mean that the reason that we would stipulate in the seifa that you can change your mind at any point, even through the first 3 days. Why? Because we're not chayshish for phonies and we don't need the filter. Or we could say just the opposite. The reisha is actually going according to the Rabbanan, and after 3 days, making it, I mean, during 3 days, allowing you to change your mind is a takana de Rabbanan to filter phonies. But then in the second case, there would be another way of understanding that in a place where a guy is trying to hold on to his field, he wants to make sure it gets back to him, the Chachami might be moded to Reb Yossi that the guy does not want to relinquish his bailus, and therefore there'd be moded that they could change their mind. So every piece of this braita can be read as a specific situation in which the Chachami would have adjusted their approach or in which Reb Yossi would adjust his approach. The way the Gemara always deals with such issues is to first point out that on the surface, it appears to be a contradiction, that one tends towards the Rabbanan and one tends towards Reb Yossi, and then to work out, no, the Reisha and the Sefer could both be X, or the Reisha and the Sefer could both be Y. That's classic. So this is all that the Gemara is trying to do. Instead of bringing up all of the elements up front, like we did, it examines the possibilities, which become very confusing since there's so many different elements here. Everything is possible to explain in one direction or in the opposite direction. That's why I raise the issues up front. And that's exactly what we're going to do right now. So we have a braita that seems to be a weird contradiction. The first part is going according to the Rabbanan that don't allow changes of mind. As to why 3 days, okay, I don't know. The second part is going according to Reb Yossi, who always allows you to change your mind. As to why that's only in a case where you said that it's for a particular amount of time, I don't know why. I'm ignoring those details right now. Obviously, those details are going to be functional in our adjusting the braita to be able to go according to anybody, right? But just leaving it as simple as could be, the reisha allows for not changing your mind. Forget about the 3 days. That's the Rabbanan. The Sefer allows always changing your mind. That's Reb Yossi. Now we need to see how the other factors are going to impact the Shita of Reb Yossi and the Rabbanan in such a way that the Braita can work out according to either, right? So now this is very straightforward. Okay, asks the Gemara, I don't understand. Is it Reb Yossi or is it the Rabbanan? So, say the Reisha is the Rabbanan and Seifa is Reb Yossi? Omar Ula, no. You're not taking into consideration. It's true that the Reisha is the Rabbanan and the Seifa is also the Rabbanan. What? But I don't understand. Then why can you change your mind a year later? Ihachi amai achalozach abo ben hu ben acher yacholach zorbo? Ah, because remember, there's something weird about the Seifa. The Seifa stipulated a case where the guy tried to control the amount of time that the Hefker would be for. You don't think that's an important point? Says Ula, that's a very important point. Because under those circumstances, the man is reluctant to let go of the property. So then in that case, the Rabbanan are ready to say, well, if that's the case, I mean, apparently, we should agree with Rabbi Yossi. So since over here he said that it's dafka for that amount of time, it's therefore shiny shana, shavua, those are unique cases. That doesn't fit into the general approach. And therefore, the lo shchichi, even if we have our takana, that we need to be able to filter phonies, and that is the counts for the ratio's difference between 3 days or post 3 days, no, it doesn't apply over here. Reish Lakish Amar, Mida Seifa Rabbi Yossi, Reish Anami Rabbi Yossi. I say, let's look at it the other way. If the Seifa is Rabbi Yossi, then probably the Reish is also Rabbi Yossi. So then, I mean, how do you explain the fact that according to Rabbi Yossi, after 3 days you can't change your mind? Why not? According to Rabbi Yossi, you should always be able to change your mind. I'll tell you why. Because remember that we have a problem. Now, gentlemen, this is a little misleading. Why is it a little misleading? Because in the Reisha, when we were saying the Reisha is going like the Rabbanan, we didn't bother explaining, what do you mean the Reisha is going to Rabbanan? So then why is it that for 3 days, after 3 days, you can change your, that for 3 days, sorry, you can change your mind, and only after 3 days you can't change your mind? How do you explain that? Well, we took for granted, and we'll talk it out later, but we took for granted that that was our anti-phony filter. In other words, we understand that the Rabbanan are concerned for the financial incentive of Mafker afield to gain not needing to take off Drumas and Maisers, right? So we understand, why would somebody say 3 days? Oh, because that way, nobody who does this phony bit, he's not going to do that. The phony stuff is just to go to sleep the night before, make it after, wake up the next morning and take it back. The guy, once he's told, well, sorry, sir, it only kicks in after 3 days, he's not going to do it. And that would explain why the Rabbanan made a takana, sorry, but you cannot take it back for 3 days. And nobody can be zochet in from Hefker for 3 days. Why do I need to say nobody? Why can't I just say you? Because if you say just you, the guy's going to say, very funny. If somebody else can take it, and you're just trying to get me to believe that I am going to be chayiv a meiser. I'm not that stupid. If the neighbor could take it, and he won't be chayiv a meiser, so, and I can't change my mind, so why can't I do it? There's a limit to how much you rabbis can play games with my mind. So therefore, as the Ran puts it, that if not for X, then we would never be able to make the takana of Y. That's one of these cases. Ilav Z, so then nobody would believe Z. And therefore, we have to make this blanket takana. 3 days, there's no way, even if somebody, this is how the Ran learns, not everybody learns like this. 3 days, doesn't matter if you were zochen it, somebody else was zochen it. There's no hefker for 3 days. Sorry, buddy. Okay, that I understood is a filter. After 3 days, we go back to the Iker Din. The Iker Din, of course, is you can't change your mind, right? But according to Rabbi Yossi, it's a little bit more complex. Because according to Rabbi Yossi, you should be able to change your mind at any time. And therefore, why do we say that after 3 days, you can't change your mind, which is the opposite problem? That's what we're trying to answer now. And so remember that when we raised our point, we also noted that there's dual pressure on the Chachamim when it comes to this. Because on the one hand, if you want to cancel the Hefker, then you are going to run into people not believing that Hefker really works as Hefker. So according to Rabbi Yossi, this was one of the points, remember? If he believes that you could change your mind at any point, and people who then take something from Hefker start believing that Hefker is just a gift, then they will not realize that they are pater from Trumas and Maaseres. Oh my God. Then they're going to be taking off Trumas and Maaseres from something that is pater from Trumas and Maaseres. Maybe they'll take it off on another field and try to pater that field, and then it'll remain as Tevel. Or maybe they'll take something from the other field and they'll try to pater this field. Oh my God. And then they'll give the gift to the Kohen and the Levi, and that gift is going to be Tevel because it wasn't really being used for Trumas and Maaseres. So therefore, what we need to do is we need to make a balance. So we say, all right, listen, you can't change your mind. But Rabbi Yossi says, what do you mean you can't change your mind? Of course you can change. No. We can't allow you to change your mind. Because if we allow you to change your mind, then people are going to think that it isn't really Hefker, but it is really Hefker. Now, of course, that's going to raise issues that we'll talk about in a moment about Trumas and Maaseres. Is it or isn't it? But let's first take a look at our approach. The reason that, according to Rabbi Yossi, the Reisha could still work is because after 3 days, the Rabbanim made a takana, kidei shelo lishtakeach Torat Hefker. People may make the mistake of believing that Rabbi Yossi means that Hefker really is a matana. That's a mistake. So in order for people to understand the power of Hefker, we had to give you a time at which it really kicks in. Well, his stance is, so why make it a time? Just make it that Hefker kicks in and that you can't change your mind. And that way people will know that Hefker is Hefker. Why don't we just make it from the first day? Why do we make it from the third day? So then, no, says Rabbah, we don't do that, because then that kills our phony trap. That kills our phony filter. Because if we don't give the person 3 days in which we're going to go according to the halacha, for 3 days, listen, man, you can always change your mind, you know. So therefore, it's not really Hefker. So we want people to think it's not really Hefker. That's the whole point. And that way, they're not going to come to try to be phonies. So on the one hand, we've got 3 days worth of phony filter, which is enough to discourage people from trying to make a phony Hefker. But then we allow the real din of Hefker to kick in, which, of course, people don't realize is true, even if you could change your mind. So we say you can't change your mind, so that people should know that it's really Hefker. That's the way we balance things according to Rabbi Yossi. And therefore, Omar Rabba mipnei haramaim, the mafkirin vadrin bon. These people are mafkir, and then they change their minds. So we tell them it wasn't really Hefker. But Midiraisa, so what are we saying? I mean, if what we're saying is that actually this last piece would mean that what would happen in terms of the difference between the Diraisa and the Rabbana? I mean, if you're saying that basically what you're telling me is that Rabbi Yossi is made that there's a takana de Rabbanan that you can't change your mind after 3 days, right? But what if you did change your mind? I understand. What if you did change your mind, according to Rabbi Yossi? So then what would be the din? Then the din would be that it isn't Hefker. Midiraisa, it isn't Hefker. So then I don't understand. How can the Rabbanan come along and say that it is Hefker? I'm so confused. If the Rabbanan will come along and say it is Hefker, and Midiraisa, it isn't Hefker, so then you're going to be ending up trying to pater someone? Because according to Rabbi Yossi, you can actually take back your Hefker a year later too. And here we're saying, no, 3 days, you can't take it back. And since that, it would mean that Min Rabbanan were going to pretend that you got it from Hefker. Oh my gosh, this is terrible. Min Raisa, it isn't Hefker. So how do you take care of that problem? Because if that's what happens, so then, if you're going to be ending up taking off, what are we going to do? We're going to tell you this field is really, we know that it's Chayev Midiraisa, right? So we tell him, well, you have to take off Trumas HaMaisers from it, Midrabbanan. Well, if that's the case, the guy will say, oh, okay, so then I could use this field to potter things that are chayev Midrabbanan. So, for instance, let's say he's got a hydroponic plant, right? Now, those things could be chayev Midrabbanan, because it's an atzit she'eino nakuv. So he's going to say, okay, the hydroponic plant is a chayev Midrabbanan. This field is a chayev Midrabbanan, because Rabbanan said that even if I was zochen, I'd still have to take it off. So I'll use the peris from this field to potter my hydroponic plant. Oh, no. These peris were really chayev Midrabbanan. We were fooling you in claiming that it wasn't a chayev Midrabbanan. We were fooling you in saying you can't change your mind. And therefore, if you try to take off from this field on your hydroponic plant, you're taking off Menachiev Alaptur, and it remains Tevel. Then you're going to be giving Tevel to the Levi. Well, what about the other way around? You may go into your hydroponic plant and say, oh, why don't we take some of this stuff and use it for Trumas HaMaisers on that field that I'm only Chayev on Derabbanan because I got it from Hefker. Oh, no. Because then you are actually not going to be pottering that field. The whole field will remain tevel. Oy. So don't we have to worry about that? Says the Gemara, and this is, addresses the point about the issue that's going to crop up here when it comes to the problems of Trumas HaMaisers. Included in this takana is that we tell a person who was zocha in this field, you can only take Trumas HaMaisers from this field on itself. And that the din of a field that you're zocha in from Hefker after 3 days is that it's chayev, but you can only take it off on itself. So that way, we haven't led on to the fact that it really is chayev midiraisa, because we don't want people to know that, right? Because that's the whole point. We're trying to make them understand that Hefker is real, and that you can't change your mind, because they think if you could change your mind, it means Hefker isn't real. So we can't let on to that. But on the other hand, we can't tell them, you're chayev, but only Midrabbanan, because then they're going to use it for their hydroponic plant. So we tell them, this is a new category. You can only take off Trumas HaMaisers from this field on this field. Okay. So this is basically, we've got now two approaches. One approach is Ula, one approach is Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish wants to get the entire Brisa to be Reb Yossi. Ula wants to get the entire Brisa to be going according to the approach of the Rabbona. Correct? Everything clear so far? Are we happy? I hope so. But at least you get all of the issues that need to be taken into consideration. Even if you don't get the full Shakal Vataria, you'll get that when you review it. But at least we understand that. Asks the Gemara against Reish Lakish's approach. There is a famous braita. A mafkirat karmo, a guy goes to sleep. He says, my vineyard is hefker. Gets up early the next morning. L'shachar amad ubatzro. He gets up and he picks all the fruit. So it says in the braita, he's chayev in peret, he's chayev in eulelos, he's chayev in shikran, he's chayev in peah. But he's not chayev in meiser. Now, the reason, this is a side point, the reason that there's a difference between the chayev of matnot aniyim and meiser is because the Torah uses the word ta'azov twice. And therefore, once is to tell you that even from this kind of hefker, you're still going to have to leave it. You have to see to it that it's azuv, but it only says it once when it comes to meiser, and therefore for meiser, a legal hefker is enough to potter you, because it's not your business to see to it that it goes to anybody. This is about meiser. And therefore, according to this, what happens is that you would be potter for meiser. Now, according to Ula, that makes sense, because remember that he learned that the braita was going according to the Rabbanan. And according to Rabbanan, the moment you say something is hefker, then it's hefker. And you cannot change your mind. It left your rishus immediately, right? So, okay, so then this makes sense. And when it says over here that you're potter from meiser, It means midioraisa, your putter from Meiser. And that's true. Now, of course, the Rabbanan said we want you to take off Meiser. Fine, that's the three-day takana that we spoke about in Brisa number one. This is Brisa number two. It's our second exhibition to the court. Okay, so Brisa number two is talking about the Deoraisa. But according to Reish Lakish, who learns that Brisa number one was going according to Rabbi Yossi, and if we assume that this Brisa is going according to Rabbi Yossi, how can you say it's putter from Meiser? Because when he went back the next morning and he took those fields, those fruits, out of his vineyard, he was changing his mind. Now look, he didn't necessarily have to do it as changing his mind, right? Because remember that according to Rabbi Yossi, if he would have announced, I do hereby take back this field min ha-hefker, then even though he could change his mind, he didn't change his mind. But the Brisa doesn't insist that he has to say that. The Brisa talks about a case in the morning, he just goes back and he collects the fruit, right? That implies that there was no proclamation, no legal proceeding whatsoever that made this a schus v'namais from a hefker. And therefore, essentially, he changed his mind by going back and picking the fruit. And therefore, what happens if you change your mind? According to Rabbi Yossi, you're chayav midioraisa. So I don't understand. Why is he potter from Meiser? You can't potter him from Meiser. He is midioraisa chayav from Meiser. Says Reish Lakish, you're right. Brisa number one, I explained according to Rabbi Yossi. I'm not trying to explain this according to Rabbi Yossi. I'm explaining it according to the Rabbanan. I certainly agree that the Rabbanan hold you cannot change your mind at all in terms of the deoraisa, the three-day jazz. According to the Rabbanan, was a takona that you could change your mind for 3 days. According to Rabbi Yossi, it was that you can't change your mind after 3 days. Is that clear? Complete mirror images of how to understand what's going on. Okay. Or I can give you an answer. And here's my answer. My answer introduces another of the points that we raised. Maybe there's a difference between being mafkirit, according to Rabbi Yossi, in front of two people, or being mafkirit in front of three people. Because remember, as we said, what was really the basis of Rabbi Yossi insisting that hefker is essentially a matana? It isn't. If you get up in front of 10,000 people, you're mafkir something, how's that a matana? So the cases that Rabbi Yossi was talking about, if you recall, is that you're all alone in the desert. So over there, it really is like a matana. You're saying, well, I'm mafkir this to the whole world. There ain't nobody within 20 miles. What do you mean you mafkir this to the whole world? The only body, people that's here is me and you. Shh. It's hefker. Okay, so Rabbi Yossi says, that's a bunch of bull. That ain't hefker. You're just trying to give it to him. But that's like a matana. Exactly. But in the case where you did it in front of three people, once something is said in front of three people, as the Gemara points out elsewhere, it's on the internet. And therefore, for all intents and purposes, everybody knows. There's no way to keep something secret if three people know about it. Okay, fine. So if that's the case, then even Rabbi Yossi would be motivated. There's no basis for comparing it to a matana. And I'll prove to you that this is really true. The Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yehotzadak, if you're mafkir something in front of three people, now that is hefker, and you can't change your mind. But if you only have two people, then it's not hefker until somebody takes it. That's how the Ran understands. So that this is going, I'll leave the Rabbi Yossi. And that makes it quite clear that the logic of Rabbi Yossi only obtains in a circumstance where you are controlling the people that are going to be able to be zocha in it by the simple virtue of the fact that nobody else knows. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi says, "No, wait a minute. That's midrabbanan, you could say that. Dvar Torah, I mean, as far as the deoraisa is concerned, if there's just one person there and you proclaim to that one person that this is hefker, that works. It's true, I agree with you, that there is a din in front of three, but that's a takana derabbanan. And you know where that takana derabbanan comes from? It's the ultimate phony filter. Because if Mr. Phony cannot go to bed by calling his good neighbor Joe, hey, Joe, come here, will you? I need to make a proclamation to Hefker, you know. You remember last year I did that for you, you know, when you didn't take off any Meisser. I got to get out of taking off Meisser. Would you mind coming over? Okay, so Joe comes over, and Schmo says to Joe, this field is here by Hefker. Okay, then he doesn't have any worries. But if he's got to put it on the internet, my field is Hefker. Anybody who wants to come can come. I'll forget it. He's not going to be Mafker his field. Therefore, says Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, this entire halacha of Hefker requiring three people, that is a takana derabbanan. And therefore, the truth is, even if there was one person, it could be Hefker. And he's going aliba the Rabbanan, at least according to some of the Mefarshim, and it's immediately chal, and he can't change his mind. The only reason that we said you need three is because we want one person to be Zocha to take the field away from you, two people to be witnesses to the fact, and that way you know you're in big trouble if you don't seriously mean this, and therefore it would be even Agliba, possibly even only, but we're learning here like Latosvis, Rabbi Sherman Levy says, okay, she's going according to Rabbanan. Now, of course, this leaves one serious issue unexplained, which is, so then how do you explain the food on the rock? The Mishnah says you go with food on the rock, and there's nobody else there. And now you're saying, but there's a takana d'rabbanan that Hefker doesn't work if there's nobody else there. Here is where the difference between property and metaltaling comes up. If this whole idea is a takana, as a phony filter, then the only need for a phony filter is on property. In which case, if you want to give the guy a piece of bread, then you ought to be able to leave the piece of bread on a rock, even though he's the only person that's there. Rich, you ready, man? Hadron alok ein bein amudar. Oh, man. Where is our Richie? There we go.